I'm going to kind of talk about the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. But what God has been sharing with me also includes the New Testament, because God never separates himself. God is who he is. And the God of the Old Testament really is the God of the New Testament. And although when you're reading it, you might think he's not, because he seems like he's so different. But the truth is, God is God. And he doesn't change, ever. Since before we were created and through all of eternity, God will be God. And he will be who he is. And we will see aspects of his character that we might think he is this, or we might think he is that. And to give you an example, if you never met me before, and I am talking to somebody with a stern voice, because they were told they are not to do that, and they did not listen. And now because of that, there is a consequence that is going to come. And they are going to reap what they sow. And they need to understand that this is why you are to do it this way. Now, if you've never met me before, you might think, wow, she's kind of a mean person. Wow, she doesn't have any sympathy. Wow, she must think she's so wonderful that who gives her the right to do that? Because you don't know me. You don't know the circumstance. All you hear is a blip of my life, and now you've drawn a conclusion. You may never meet me before, and you might come across me sometime, and I am laughing. I am just laughing hysterically and worshiping the Lord and just enjoying his presence and enjoying my friends and having a good old time and just talking about the kindness of God and look what God has done and giving testimony and just filled with joy. And you might think, wow, she's a really fun person to be with. I'd kind of like to join that gang. They're all having a good old time. I wonder who she is. I wonder how I connect with her, because I like that. And then you might find somebody who had met me for the first time and heard me saying, this is not right, and you may not do it again. And they may say, you might say to them, hey, I just saw this person. She's so much fun. I can't wait to get to know her. And they'll say, you don't want to get to know her. I just saw something, and that's what she's like. And they're like, no, this is what she's like. No. This is what I know. Yeah, but this is what I know. Now, God has many aspects, just like we do. And it doesn't mean that I'm not both. God is a holy God that never will change. God will not tolerate sin. That will never change. God is slow to anger and great in loving kindness. That will never change. God loves the world so much that he gave his only son to suffer and die so that the world can come to know the heart of the Father for them. That will never change. God has a plan from the beginning. It has never changed. He knew there was a plan B before he ever set plan A into motion, because God already knows everything. He sees the end from the beginning. He doesn't start here and look out. He goes, oh, I know that, so let's start here. God made a way for us. That's our God. So if you hear things in the Old Testament or you read them, try not to stumble over what you read, because God is a just God. He is a holy God, and he requires his people to obey him. In fact, the word says, in Samuel, he said, I desire obedience over sacrifice. But God, I did it all for you. I didn't ask you to do that. I asked you to do this. Have you ever done that as a parent? Hey, I want you to go take out the trash. You come back hours later, trash isn't dumped. What are you doing? The dishes. But I asked you to dump the trash. I know, but I decided I want to do the dishes. You know I don't like to do dishes, Mom. This is a sacrifice. And you say, but I don't desire sacrifice. I desire obedience. That's our God, okay? So I want you to understand. I'll give you an example. When Abraham was shown the promised land. Do you know Abraham saw the promised land? Abraham's way back in Genesis. Way back in the beginning part of Genesis. So Abraham is walking with God. Why? Because God said, hey, come on. I want you to leave your family and I want you to come with me. He goes, okay. He didn't ask where they were going. He said, okay. Why? Because Abraham knew his God. Abraham knew God was a good God. And if God says, let's go, he says, okay, let's go. I wonder what his wife thought. Oh, what do I pack? Is it going to be hot there? Is it going to be cold there? Do I need my good shoes? Are we going out? I don't know how to pack, honey. He says, just pack it all up. We're going. And in the journey, God showed him the promised land. And he said to him, someday this will belong to all of your children. But you can't have it right now because the sin of the people hasn't come to a place yet where it will get the wrath it deserves. God knew those people were sinful. They were worshiping idols. They were sacrificing their children to idols. I mean, seriously, you take your little baby and you burn it on an altar for an idol? It was a wicked, wicked people. A wicked people. But God waited 400 years. 400 years. Talk about he's slow to anger and great in loving kindness. He didn't say, what you're doing is wrong, and I have a right to get rid of this right now. He waited. He gave them time and opportunity to get it right. That is the same God we serve today. So, I really am going to watch the time, because I can just talk about this all day long. All right, in Hebrews 11:6, we are told, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because when you come to God, you must believe that he is and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Isn't that crazy? He rewards us if we seek him diligently. Not like, oh, morning, God, here's your day before me. You can have it. Thanks. See ya. No, to diligently seek him, he will reward you. So he doesn't say, just believe who I am. He says, the reason it's impossible to please him is because you must believe who he is. That is offensive to God when you do not believe who he is. You ever thought about that? Have you ever had somebody say to you, well, I just talked to blah, 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 and they said that what you did was so rude. And you say, what did I do? Well, they saw you in the store and they said hi, and you just kept on walking. You just snubbed them. And they were offended because you were rude. And what do you say? I didn't even see them. Now, would you take offense to that? They should know me better than that. I wouldn't snub them. I like them. We're friends. Why would they think that about me? It's kind of offensive, isn't it? Well, Johnny says that he saw you in that bar the other day. And I know you're not supposed to be there. Did Johnny also tell you I was dropping off a friend of mine's mail because I had to leave and I'd been gathering it for them all week where they were on vacation? I walked in, handed the mail, and left? Well, no. Well, that really kind of offends me because not only was I not doing anything wrong, but now he's talking about me and making me sound bad. You know, there's so many things that we do as a people, but what we don't realize is we do the same thing to God. We do the same thing to God. So in the book of Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 8, he says, to his people through the prophet. You tell them this. Don't fear what other people fear. And don't do what other people do. And don't go around making other people fear what you fear. Lest you offend me. You fear me. I'm the one you don't want to offend. So don't look at the people. Look at me. God gets offended at us when we forget that he is good. When we forget that he is gracious. When we forget that his whole purpose is for unity. God gets offended. But God. Now I know everybody here has said that at least once. But God. Because we're children, and that's what children do, because we forget. I've said to my kids, do you really think I'm not going to feed you supper? How many times has that happened in your life? None. Then why are you complaining and acting like, Mom, I'm so hungry, aren't you going to feed me? Why would you even say that to me? Think about what you're saying. So I want to tell you that it is really, really, really important to know your God. Because without faith, you cannot please him. Because when you come to him, you must believe that he is. So what is he? Have you ever asked yourself, what is God? What's he like? You must believe that he is. He is what? What is God? Is he good? Is he faithful? Is he merciful? Is he our provider? Is he our sustainer? Is he the one who made the way when there was no way? Otherwise we would go into hell. But no, but God. Has God ever failed anybody through all of history? I love what David in his last day said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. David knew his God. He knew his God. He knew his God so he could do what he could do. And because he knew his God, he always pleased God. Because God knew he believed in who he was. And that's why he could do what he did. In Daniel 11:22, I believe it is. 11:32. It says, but those that know their God will be strong and do great things. Those who know their God will be strong and do great things. When we know our God, not only are we pleasing him because we know who he is, thus we trust him, we have faith in him, we believe in him, our hope is in him, then we're not going to be disappointed because we know our God is faithful. And even the junk I got to walk through, I know he's going to turn it around for my benefit and his glory because he said so. And if he lied, even once, I would know it because I've lived a long time and I've had plenty of opportunity. Some really nasty things happen in my life that I could honestly say is an opportunity for God to not turn it around for my good and his glory, right? But he always has. He has never failed me. My God has never failed me. And I have given him plenty of opportunity. Because I am a stupid sheep in the fold of Jesus who wants to wander off all the time and do my own thing, and God in his mercy will bring me back, right? So I want to talk a little bit about Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat, I like Jehoshaphat. If you ever read the Old Testament, you're going to find out, you go into 1 Samuel, and David shows up towards the end. Well, he's in there, but then he gets promoted in this, and then you've got 2 Samuel where he's reigning, and then you get the Kings, 1 and 2, and you get the Chronicles, 1 and 2, and a lot of it repeats itself, but sometimes you get out of 1 or 2 Kings what you don't get in the Chronicles, kind of like in the Gospels. You might read something in Luke, but maybe it won't be in Matthew, because you've got, I don't know why, it's just the way it is. I guess because it was written by different people when they wrote what God told them to write. And when God repeats himself, you ought to pay attention. And if God doesn't repeat himself, you still better pay attention, because if God says something, it never returns void, according to Isaiah 55. The word of the Lord never returns void. It always accomplishes what it was sent forth to do. Always. So, Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. Now we have David, and he's reigning over the whole lot. Okay, so it'd kind of like be if you guys were Israel and I was David. I'm your king. And you're all my subjects. And I got the whole kingdom. Well, then David died, and his son Samuel took his place. Now, Samuel was given more wisdom than anybody in his time or since has ever had, but he didn't use it wisely. He still let his flesh rise up, and he made choices that God told him not to make. And because of that, not in his life for the sake of his servant David, but his sons had a battle. And the kingdom was torn. So now, you all are Israel. And you all are Israel. But you all have become Judah. Judah was a smaller part of the whole gang. There were 12 tribes in Israel. You got Judah and all the rest of Israel. Now, if you read in the Kings and in the Chronicles, you'll find out that Israel mostly had wicked kings that did what they wanted to, and it was awful, 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 because they served idols that were awful, 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 and did awful, awful things. And then you have Judah, who had a lot of kings who served the Lord. There were a few that didn't, and there were a few that did. But basically, you've got two kingdoms now. To tell you an example of how wicked this kingdom was, you have King Ahab, who was married to Queen Jezebel. And Jezebel was a very wicked woman. And she was married to a whiny baby who did not want to listen to his... He just wanted his way. And if he couldn't have it, he would whine, and then his wife would say, for Pete's sake, you're the king, get up and do something about it. And she had him, he would just do what she said. He did, it was a nasty thing. And that's the whole time. If you go back there, that's when Elijah was bringing down fire from heaven, and that's when there was a big famine in the land, and all this stuff's going on, right? Okay, so down the road, Jehoshaphat is also king, but he's king over here. So you have the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat. He loved the Lord, and he served the Lord with all of his might. Now Jehoshaphat was told, there's a bunch of kings that came around, and they wanted to destroy, to take over. You know, kings are always trying to take other kingdoms. That's just what they do, which is why God's kingdom stands and remains, even though the enemy has his own kingdom and he can't succeed. He can always try, but he cannot succeed because God always wins. Do you ever think about how cool that is? You're on the winning side. When you're having a lousy day, just remember, you are on the winning side. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. Okay? So, Jehoshaphat, because he knew his God, instead of getting his feathers ruffled and his self all shook up, he did what any godly man would do in the season, and he called for the prophet. He said, what am I going to do? This is what I'm looking at. Don't look real good. Now, in this particular case, he called for Elijah. And Elijah said, let's go worship. Do you know Elijah was into worship? Oh, my goodness. Maybe that's how he heard God. Sharon shared this morning that the presence of God comes when we worship and praise him. So the prophet called for the minstrels and the singers, and they played and they worshiped. And then Elijah heard God, and he said, this is what God says. Gather the people together. I want the singers, and I want the worshipers. But before you do that, I want to fast. So Jehoshaphat fasted, and he sought God. See, to get to know God, there are many ways. And fasting is definitely one of them. And let me tell you, I had a friend who was fasting because she wanted somebody who she thought would be her perfect mate. And she decided she wanted him, so she fasted for 40 days. I mean, this woman was on a diligent fast. She did not cheat. She fasted. And when the 40 days were up, guess what she found out? That wasn't the guy for her. Do you know what she did? She got mad at God. You know why? Because she wasn't fasting for God's heart to be instilled in her. She was fasting so that God would say, okay, I give up, you can have him. And what she didn't know was it was God's great kindness, because the guy turned out to be a real dodo. I mean, he married somebody else, and it was not good. It was sad. It was really sad. And God's great kindness was his big no. You ever think you hear God, and you find out later you didn't get it? Maybe you just didn't hear right. God's no is always to our kindness. It's always his kindness. I love the story of Moses when he said, God, I want to see your face. And God says, you can't see my face, but I'll put you in the cleft of this rock. So when I pass by, I will cover myself, and you will see my back. And when Moses saw the back of God passing by him, the word says he saw God's goodness. Do you ever think about that? I feel like God has turned his back on me. Wow. He's revealing his goodness. That's what that meant. God's back is good. God is so good that he will let us see only what is good for us and give us only what is good. And you can trust him if you know him. That's why it's easy to have faith when you know your God, because you know he is good, and even his back is good. His front is good. His sides are good. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He's counted the numbers on your head. Now, why in the world would our God need to know that? Because he loves every part of us. He was in our mama's belly when we were being formed. Yeah, I like that eyebrow, that shape. He takes great delight in his creation and in his people. So you need to know your God. So Jehoshaphat asked what they should do. After fasting, they called, they worshiped. And then you know what happened? God told them, I want you to get all the worshipers and singers, and I want you to just go out. And then, you know, everybody else can follow them. So you have the band going, God is good. His faithfulness endures forever and ever, and his mercy and his love is forever and ever. They weren't singing, oh God, please come and kick our enemies' butt, because we are really, really scared and we don't know what we're doing and I feel like an idiot and I hope nobody's watching. No, they just worshiped him because they knew he was good and they knew the outcome would be good. So they're worshiping how good he is. That's all they did. And when they got to the top of the knoll where they could see where the enemy was encamped, guess what the enemy was doing? They were killing each other. And they stood on that little knoll. Check it out. They're killing each other. Wow. Can you believe that? There's nobody left. Wow. That's cool. God said he put confusion in the enemy's camp. Can you picture that? How would you feel? Your whole nation is at stake. Your whole nation is at stake because they're going to come and wipe you out. And all you did was trust God and obey him. That's all you did. And he destroyed your enemies so that you could actually stand and watch the salvation of your God. To me, that is pretty doggone awesome. When you know who your God is, you will not be shaken by what you see now, how you feel about those situations, and what you have heard other people say. I don't think your husband's very nice. In fact, I think I saw him the other day with some other woman. I think you should know that. You know what I would say? I know my husband. Perfect? Nope. But he's a faithful man, and he's a man of his word, and I have never, ever been disappointed in him, and I don't believe you. And I would be serious. My husband is a faithful man. He's had years and years and years with me. He's not going to go with someone else. He's had plenty of opportunity. when you're that good looking, you know, what can I say? I have a faithful man. So I don't care about the evil report I hear. I don't care if I feel like he hasn't been attentive lately. And it doesn't bother me if he has to go away for a week and work. Because I know my husband. And that's the type of relationship God wants us to have with him. He wants us to know him so well that when you hear things, when you feel things, when you think you see something and you're not sure, you always go back to, but I know my God. And God, and I've wrestled with God. I don't know about you guys, but I've gotten on that wrestling mat. And I've learned through the years, it's so much better for me if I just go, okay, you win. Instead of fighting him all the time. If I just say, okay, God, you know what you're doing. But sometimes, you know, you say, but God, can't you see how good this plan is? But God, don't you understand how important? Look at how many people would know this. I mean, I was sick for a long time. God, you know what? If you just heal me, then all these people that know that I'm sick would know that you really still heal, and it would be a great testimony for everybody, and my children wouldn't struggle because every time they pray for mommy, she doesn't get better, and the word that says that you're a healing God today, people wouldn't be able to refute it. I mean, I had it all figured out. I mean, God, in fact, God, if you do it now in front of all these people, wow, all those people would go out and tell all those people who tell all those people, and people would see and fear and put their trust in God. I know how to quote the word. But God said, it's not time yet. That was a hard word. I got on that mat and I'd start wrestling. But where in the word does it say? And then he goes, well, how about this one where it says, in the appointed time? Oh, I don't like that one. Can you tell me when the appointed time is? Because it would help me. He never did tell me that. And that was okay. Because he still healed me. And that's what I wanted. I wanted to be healed, and my family did find out, and all the people praying for me did find out, and people understood that God still heals today. But I got on the mat and I said, but God, you said, and I had to get me out of me so I could allow God to do what he wanted to do, and God never once rebuked me for that, because it wasn't a matter of not knowing him, and it wasn't a matter of not trusting him. It was a matter of me just thinking that maybe I had a plan that he should listen to, and then I realized it was dumb, because his plans are always better than mine. So another time, there's going to be another battle. And King Jehoshaphat was approached by King Ahab. So now you got wicked, wicked, wicked coming over to godly, godly, godly. Hey, I think that we need to go after this other king, and we need to go united, because there's unity and power in unity. And besides that, your numbers will add to my numbers, and we'll have a better chance. And do you know what Jehoshaphat said? He said, well, what are the prophets saying? Because I'm not moving until I hear from God. Jehoshaphat understood that obeying God is really, really, really important. So if you look at 2 Kings 3:16, now I'm actually going to read from the Bible. You can look up all these things, though, because it's in there. When King Ahab went to King Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat said to him, is there no prophet of the Lord here by whom we may inquire of the Lord? And the Israel servants answered, well, there's Elisha. I mean, he washed the hands of Elijah, so he must have something. He hung with the dude, and now Elijah's gone. So I think Elisha's the guy to go to. I mean, we could give it a shot. So 2 Kings 3:11 onward, I'm going to paraphrase. It says that Elisha said to the king, to King Ahab, I want nothing to do with you. Why are you even bothering to come to me? I know who you are, and I know what you do. But for the sake of Jehoshaphat, I tell you what, you get to know somebody who knows God, you are going to be in a good place. And that's why God has his people hobnobbing with his people. Because when you find somebody who hears from God, then you know you have a secure place. And this king, Elisha, the prophet, was not even going to bother asking God anything because he knew who Ahab was. But for the sake of Jehoshaphat. Just like God said to Abraham, when Abraham said, "Can I ask you again, God? Like, what if there's, 30 people in Sodom and Gomorrah? Will you destroy it then?" For the sake of, when he got down to 10, he said, "For the sake of my 10. God sees his people in the midst of the wickedness. Do not ever think that God gets lost in the wickedness that you see around you. He knows you individually. He knows you intimately. And he wants you to know him intimately. Because that's the ones who are strong and do great things for God. Because they know their God and they obey him when he speaks." So Jehoshaphat, when Elisha said he would do it for him, do you know what Elisha did? He said, "Bring me a minstrel." And while the minstrel played, God gave Elisha a plan. These prophets of God, they didn't just go, "Okay, God, I need you to talk to me. And, you know, maybe you can do it while I'm in the shower. I hear you well there." I don't know. I hear God well in the shower. But they knew that God's presence meant his word. It meant that they could hear him. They would be able to talk to him. Do you know that David, King David, when he went to battle over here, the town that his family lived in and all his mighty men that were with him, their families were in a place called Ziklag. And the enemy came and burned down Ziklag and took all of the things that belonged to them. And it took all of their wives and all of their children and all of their servants and all of everything they had. And they took them away into captivity. And when David came back from fighting for the Lord, you ever feel like this? "God, I was out fighting for you and look what happened while I was gone." And the men were so mad, they wanted to stone David as if it was his fault. But, you know, if it wasn't for David saying, "Let's go over here and fight," then maybe we would have been here. And you know how you do that blame thing. Because when you're really upset, you got to blame somebody. And heaven forbid you blame yourself. So, do you know what David did? David put worship on. He said, "Give me the ephod." Now, the ephod was a representation of worship, and it's what the priest wore. And it represented all, it had all the stones, 12 stones on it that represented the 12 tribes of Israel. And that's what they wore when they went before the Lord in worship. David worshiped. His family's gone. His home is burnt to the ground. He has nothing but a bunch of men that want to stone him. And David knew he had to hear from God. Why? Because he knew his God, and he knew his God was good, and he knew his God had a plan. And so David put on worship, God gave him a plan, and they got all of their family back, and not one was harmed. Got all of his belongings back. He didn't lose anything. That's what God does when we know him. And one of the best ways of knowing him is to getting before him in worship. Not because you're trying to twist God's arm, but because he is worthy. And when we say, "God, I know that this is happening and my finances are really messed up. And I know my child is making stupid, stupid choices that's breaking my heart. And I know that my job is on the line and I don't know how I'm going to make it. And God, I know that I am tired. I'm just tired. But I choose to worship you. Not because I'm in this place, but because you are worthy of my praise all the time." And in my worship of him, he comes because he dwells in praise and worship. And as he comes, he comforts me and he gives me strategies so I can pray differently. He gives me hope. He reminds me of his word, and he reminds me of the past things he's been faithful in. When I worship the Lord, I am different. And when I am different, how I view my circumstances around me looks different. And now, instead of being devastated and overwhelmed, I'm encouraged, and I'm looking to see what God is going to do. And I start saying, "I can't wait to see what God's going to do here, because it's going to be good." I can't wait to see what God's going to do with over here, because it's going to be good. And I can say that confidently because I know God is good. He is good. And when I see it from his perspective, it changes me. And then I can see what he sees. And I'm no longer down here looking at something and seeing my little world. I'm up here with him, and I'm seeing the bigger picture. Because that's what God sees. So I want to encourage you all. Everybody has trials in their life. Everybody has circumstances they don't like. Everybody at one time or another feels weak, weary, worn, and ready to give up. Everybody in their life feels lonely at times. Everybody in their life, because there is nothing that happens to anybody that everybody doesn't have an experience of, because it's normal life. But when you know your God, you will be strong and you will do great things regardless. So I want to encourage you, get to know your God. I know we all know a lot about God. And the more you went to Sunday school, and the more you've read the Word, and the more you've heard other people teaching, the more you know about God. But do you know your God? Or do you just know about your God? Because if you only know about your God, he's saying today, I want you to start seeking me so you know me. Just like I know my husband. I don't know my husband because I didn't talk to him. And I don't know my husband. I don't know my husband because he didn't talk to me. We've lived life together. I talk, he talks. He talks, I talk. We go through things together. While we're in it, we're talking. Back and forth, back and forth. That's what the walk with the Lord is like. He wants you to talk to you. He wants you to listen to him. I remember getting up in the morning, early morning, and just sitting there. Okay, God, change my heart. I know it's hard as a stone, and I want it to be like flesh. And I need to hear you, because I don't want to know about you anymore. I want to know you. Well, I'm waiting. Come on, God, it's early. I'm falling asleep. Okay, maybe I'll try writing. Okay, God, I need you to talk to me right now. I'm just going to write what you say. And you know what? I started writing. Like, I had this stuff coming to my head, so I'm like, okay. When you start to seek me like you would chocolate, I am not kidding you, that was the first word of the Lord to me. When you start seeking me like you seek out chocolate on those days you have great craving and none to be found, you will find me. I can't tell you how excited I was, because as dumb as that sounds, I knew that was from God. And I know I seek out chocolate when I have a craving and there's none to be found. It's like, God, you know me so well. Sorry. Okay, I can do this. How do I do this? So the next day, I just got up and I did it again. And I started to worship. Okay, God, I know you're good. There was a song, make this heart of flesh. Make this heart of stone into a heart of flesh. Cause my heart to seek you. Help me to wait. And I'm singing this song in the early morning, real quietly so I don't wake my children, because you know if your kids are up, forget quiet time, right? And I started hearing him more and more. And I began to realize what he meant. And then I got more excited because he was talking to me. So then I started a date night. You ever have a date night with God? They're really cool. When my husband came home from work, I'd say, okay, I got to go out. So in dead of winter or in the middle of summer, didn't matter. I just wore what I needed to wear according to the weather. And I went out to the field and I would just worship him. I would just stand there because you can't sit. It's all grass and mud and dirt. And I'm not into that. So I would stand. And I'd look at the sky, and I'd look around me. Wow, God, your creation's awesome. Wow, God, you're so good. And I'd begin to sing. And sometimes I'd make up songs, you know, like, God, your sky is beautiful, and I'm amazed that you love me. And I would just create this thing, you know, that I didn't want anybody to hear but the cow. And God would come. And it was so good, I would do it the next week. It was awesome. I am telling you, when you seek God, He will be found when you take the time to seek Him. And then you will know Him. And when you know Him, you won't be shaken. Though the mountains, though the earth shake and the mountains crumble into the sea, I will not be afraid. Why? Because I know my God. This is what God is calling all of us to. A deeper relationship with Him. An intimacy that we can honestly say, yeah, the other day the Lord and I were talking, and you know, I was saying, God, I don't understand. Why in the world does blah, 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 blah? And He said this to me. And then the other day I was talking to the Lord, and I said, blah, blah, blah. And then I was talking to my friend, and they told me about the scripture God showed them. And that was the answer to what I was asking God. And then one day I was talking to God, and I said, blah, 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 blah. And on Sunday, the pastor preached on it. This is what our God does. Don't limit Him. He wants to talk to you like that. All right, I am going to close. And before I do, I just want to close in prayer. And I want to give an opportunity for anybody who wants to come up for prayer to be encouraged, to hear from the Lord. And please stay, if you can, for the farewell shower for our dear sister here, that we can give her a wonderful send-off. So, Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you that you come when we ask you to come, and that when we seek after you, you will be found. Thank you for all your promises. Thank you for all the victories we can read about in your word. Thank you that we have had opportunity after opportunity to see the faithfulness that you are, because you are faithful all the time. And so I ask, God, that you would put in all of us a greater hunger, a greater thirst for who you are, to know you. I just want to know you. We at times feel like that deer that is looking for water in the desert, but we always will find it when we're finding you. Father, thank you for loving us, for forgiving us when we forget you, for receiving us back quickly, and for always give us opportunity to run straight into your throne room for help in our time of need. I ask your blessing on the rest of this day, on everyone that is here. I ask, God, that you would help us to become closer together in unity as a body, and that together we would seek your face, because there is such power when your people come together in unity, and it's such a blessing to you. I ask a blessing on Miriam as she goes off to this new adventure in her life. I ask for safe travels. I ask for a peaceful readjustment, and a blessing on her marriage, that you be the head of that home, and that you move as they agree together in unity of your goodness, your kindness, your faithfulness, that you be their stronghold and their trouble and a safe place. Thank you for being their provider, for being their sustainer, and for all the things you have for them to accomplish as they live out their days together. Thank you for this people here. Bless Pastor Steve and Becky as they will be journeying home today. Give them safe travels home, and let them know we miss them this morning. We cannot say enough how good you are, but once again we will say you are good, and all that you do is just and right. And so we can open our mouth knowing that you will fill it with good things. In Jesus' name, amen.